Part of the year, we generally talk about new starts and starting resolutions, new habits, and things like that. And so back on the first Sunday of this year, I shared with you about how we were going to start a series about the disciplines of a spiritual life, taking on the habits that will help us grow close to God, with the idea that we could kind of ramp this up, and for the first 6 weeks, we were going to create this opportunity to help you know some tools and help you understand some things that will help you get even closer to God as you start this new year with new habits and new resolutions and a new determination to be all that God has called you to do. So last week was going to be our second sermon, but today's going to be the second sermon, and then next week won't be the fourth sermon, so my schedule is completely obliterated. But you can still do these things, and they can still help you grow. Spiritual disciplines may not sound good. I've had the opportunity because of a health insurance change, I started a new doctor, and the new doctor, I went through all the information that I could tell him about my health, and he got the result. He goes, "Well, you know, I see this stuff, but I want to run some tests so that we can see where you are now." Which part of me thought, you want to run some tests so I can become poorer this year. So I have seen a lot of doctors. Lisa's gone through stuff doctor-wise over the last year, and for the last several months, I've been going to doctors, and I went to a kidney doctor this week, and we sat down, and she goes, "Do you know why you're here?" And so I began to detail out, this is what has happened over the last several years. There was this, there was this, there was this, there was this, there was this. And she goes, "Okay, you know why you're here. I was looking at your records. You got everything pretty accurate, yeah. And you know your blood test. Oh, yeah, last time it was this, 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 and this." She goes, "Well, yeah, that's good. Do you know what I'm supposed to do today? Well, you're going to schedule a CT scan so that you can check my left kidney. Because in 2007, my left kidney had something weird going on with it. In 2017, they did another ultrasound to see what was going on. My left kidney was fine, but my right kidney had some weird things going on with it. And then last November, I had another ultrasound, and now my left kidney's got a little something going on with it." She said, "This back and forth is kind of weird." I said, "Well, hello, my mic." That kind of goes along with me. But it's one of the, and as we talk, it's kind of like, well, you know, there are some things you can do that will help your blood pressure. Yes. You know, you can be careful about what you eat. Yes. You can exercise every day. Yes. And so she told me all these things. Anyway, that's the way it is with spiritual disciplines. I know what I can do to affect my physical body. And I know it's about every 3 years I lose weight. It's the third year. It's time for me to do that again. I understand. That's my pattern. That's what I do. I've tried to tell the doctors, this is my pattern, so they will know. And I understand. There are things I can do, but I don't do them right now. But I'm going to, because I know they're what I need to do. And there are things spiritually that we know. These are things you can do that will help you grow spiritually. And then as we talk about these things coming up, you may think to yourself, I know. I mean, there are some of you that whenever you hear what we're going to talk about today, and you can look in your notes and figure that out. But as I talk to you, some of you are going to go, yeah, I know. I don't. Why are we wasting time talking about this when we could be talking about the metaphysical aspects of the arterial form in a Orthodox Christian viewpoint? But I think we still need to do this. Some of you might be going, oh, this is still above my pay grade. I can remember on a Wednesday night whenever I started talking about the hypostatic union, about how Jesus was fully man and fully God at the same time, and how we try to understand that complex thing because it seems so far beyond us, because he's the only one that has ever been like that and ever will be like that, and yet we have to try to comprehend that to some degree. I remember there was one person that said, that's just above my pay grade. And there are some people, whenever we talk about making sure that we read the Bible, some people are just kind of going, you know, I just don't understand that much of it. That's kind of beyond me a little bit. Well, what we want to try to do is go back over some of that. Understanding that that's one of the spiritual disciplines is, how do we study God's Word? Next Well, next time I preach, we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to talk about service. We're talking about both the inner disciplines, a couple of those, with as we talk about today, reading God's Word and prayer. We're going to talk about the corporate disciplines of service and worship. We're going to continue to talk then about how we can have the disciplines of sharing with others as well, because that's part of the spiritual disciplines also. Richard Foster, who wrote the book Celebration of Discipline, has said, "We must not be led to believe that the disciplines are only for spiritual giants and hence beyond our reach, or only for contemplatives who devote all their times to prayer and meditation. Far from it. God intends the disciplines of the spiritual life to be for ordinary human beings, people who have jobs, who care for children, who wash dishes and mow lawns. In fact, the disciplines are best exercised in the midst of our relationships with our husband or wife, our brothers or sisters, our friends and neighbors." It's for everyone. It's not, whenever we talk about these spiritual disciplines, it's not something that you can just kind of pass off and think, you know, it's kind of like saying, for a car to run correctly, it needs gas. A car can move without gas. If a hill is nearby and you can go down it, you can get quite a bit of speed. If you're having trouble starting it and you have a manual, you can even get it to start. But it's only going to go any real distance whenever it has gas, because that's how it's meant to function. We are meant to function with God's Word. It's a part of how we live our lives. If you're going to be a growing Christian, and as a leader in this church, and I think if you spoke to any of our leaders, we don't want you to be just a Christian. We want you to be a dynamic, growing Christian. And if you're going to be a growing Christian, you will never be a growing Christian without a knowledge of the Word of God. In Romans, it tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In essence, if you want to have faith, the place to find faith is by understanding the Word of God and doing it. And it creates a cycle. Whenever you read God's Word, you do what God's Word says, you'll be able to find that He keeps His promises, and you can continue that cycle, which deepens and grows your faith. That's why it's so important to invest yourself in God's Word, the Bible. I'm not doing an apologetic sermon about why the Bible is reliable. There are many sources that you can find that will tell you the incredible nature of the Bible and the consistency, as it was written over hundreds of years, the consistent message that God ensured would reach to us. And even though some would say, well, it's not really relevant, the issues that it talks about, as far as the core of who we are as human beings, hasn't changed. We still struggle with the same temptations. We may be able to do those things differently now than they did 50 years ago, 500 years ago. It's much easier now to access pornography than it was 50 years ago, or it was 100 years ago. It wasn't that it wasn't available, but it's easier to access. So the temptation may be there in an even greater way, but it's still the same temptation. So it is. Our temptation, our sinful nature hasn't changed. And the Word of God still speaks to those very issues of how to have victory, of how to be able to overcome the temptation, and how to be able to experience the life that God desired for you when He created you. That sin desires to mar, and yet God wants to allow us to be able to fully inhabit the life He's called us to. Now, there are so many verses that talk about the Scripture. One of the best chapters is Psalm 119. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open it. If you're going to try to find it, one of the easiest ways is to take your Bible, find the middle, and open it up, and you're probably pretty close. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 117 is about the shortest, if I remember correctly. I know that because whenever I was in youth group years ago, we had a contest on who could read the most chapters of the Bible. No one wanted to read Psalm 119. Everybody would love to read 1:17 multiple times, but you couldn't do that. But you learn those kinds of things. It's amazing because it also is done in an acrostic format. In most Bibles, it would have, like Aleph there, the very first, right under Psalm 119. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes through the entire alphabet with different sections so that you have the entire alphabet. It's something that could be used as a teaching tool, as a part of that as well. And so that's part of what it was. Now, I understand whenever you look at this Psalm 119, you think about reading this, we're not going to read through the entire thing today, but we're going to look at some of the verses that really talk about the value of God's Word. This was written by, we believe, by David, as he appreciated the Word of God and meditated upon it and saw the value that it played within his life. That's what God wants us to grasp and understand. So, to start off, we're going to go ahead and look at, excuse me, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 11. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Let me just stop for a second. A little bit of a brief teaching time. In Hebrew poetry, oftentimes, the way that it would set up is that the writer would say one thing, and then he would say the same thing again in a different way. And they would repeat that. And that was how a lot of the Psalms were written, where there's this repetition of ideas, but it kind of expands in one direction or another. So whenever he says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, what does it tell us? Well, who walk according to the law of the Lord. You are blessed if your way is blessed if your way is blameless. How is your way blameless? Because you walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their hearts. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are so fully obeyed, that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Possibly one of the best known verses from this passage. It says in verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Verse 24, your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Verses 26 through 28, I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. What's incredible is that even as we look at all the things, there are so many ways in which we are blessed. Over and over again, it talks about how we are blessed, about how God's Word can transform our life, how it protects us from sin, how it is able to build a barrier that Satan will not be able to overcome, how it will guide us and keep us righteous and keep us pure. If you want to know how to be pure, read God's Word. And it is a way in which we are able to understand and grasp all that God has for us. And yet, research would say, even in the church, even though the Bible is the best-selling book in the history of the world, even in the church, research has been done that shows only about 39% of people who come to Christian churches read God's Word when they aren't in church. That means just even one other time during the week. So if you take 100 people, what it's saying is out of those 100 people, they all may open their Bible on Sunday at church, but then they go home and they don't open it again. 39%, 39 of them will open their Bible once during the week. And the numbers continue to go down for those who will open it every day. So we look at God's Word and we're amazed by God's Word, and we understand the power of God's Word, and yet many people will not read God's Word and study God's Word. You have life-giving, strength-building, grace-understanding words and wisdom that can help our lives, and yet, even in churches such as ours, which we say the foundation of our church is in what God has revealed to us in His Word about Himself, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it's the way in which we are able to test other spirits or other teachings by, is it consistent with God's Word? Even there, many people do not read God's Word on a regular basis. I've printed some other verses that you can look at. And again, all of these talk about the power of God's Word. It says in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It's not changing. Whenever we've talked about the attributes of God on Wednesday night, the series we've been going through, it talked about how God is immutable. He's not changing. His word doesn't change. His truth doesn't change. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the culture, regardless of the period of time, people are still people, but God is still God, and His wisdom is still true for our lives. I like verse 103 that says, "How sweet are your works to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I realize that for some people, when they read God's Word, it doesn't taste like honey. They don't feel like they can understand. There are ways you can deal with that, but it's important for us to recognize the powerful nature of God's Word. The way that, as Gary says, I've said before, I'll say it again, God will transform your life, but He does that even more powerfully and more effectively by how you read His Word. It is essential. So how do you get a new start this year with your Bible? If you haven't been doing this, I want to encourage you to start today. Find some time this afternoon, whenever it is, and dig into your Bible. That's what the psalmist was saying. Over and over again, he kept talking about God's laws, God's precepts, His commands. All of that was talking about reading what God had given His people. Reading and studying the Word of God. And that's why whenever we talk about reading God's Word, you need to understand why. The reason why that I would encourage you to read God's Word is to read it, to study, and to be transformed, for transformation. That's the power and nature of God's Word. Don't just read it. Study it. Spend time in it. Romans 12, chapter 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you renew your mind? How does God transform your mind? How does God transform your way of thinking to the point that it tells us in 1 Corinthians that we can have the very mind of Christ? It's because we live within God's Word. We spend time in it. Howard Hendricks, who's passed away, but he was a good scholar, once said that there are three reasons why we should study the Bible. Number one, the Bible is essential for growth. You're going to grow in faith. If you're going to grow in knowledge, you need to spend time in God's Word. Not just listening to what other people say, but reading God's Word. It says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow." If you want to grow spiritually, spend time in God's Word. That's where God will nourish you. The Bible is essential for spiritual maturity. In Hebrews 5, "Of whom we have much to say," and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing, "for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or word of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you remember back in 1 Peter, we talked about how it's essential for growth because it's like milk to a newborn. Here it says, you need that milk for the newborn, but you need to grow. As a youth minister said years ago when I was young, and it's always stuck in my head, this verse in Hebrews, don't be a milk dud. In other words, all you do is spend time with milk, and spiritually you're going to become a dud because you're not growing. God wants us to grow. And we can only grow by moving from the basic principles, the things we know, whenever we start our spiritual life, to continue to understand even deeper topics. And the deeper understanding of how God works through His Word in our lives. It helps bring us to spiritual maturity. We also understand the Bible is essential for spiritual effectiveness. 1 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Realize, 2 Peter tells us that we've received everything we need for life and for godliness in what God has provided for us. If you want to be a complete, a whole, that word complete also has the idea of maturity. It's if you really want to be the best Christian you can be, you need to study God's Word, and that will make you not just a Christian, it will make you effective. You'll be able to help people. You'll be able to encourage people even more because you have an understanding of God's Word. To be able to have an understanding of God's Word to the point you will not only be able to encourage people, you'll be able to share with them the wisdom of God. I've shared with you in the past. I did a funeral 2 or 3 years ago where the funeral home contacted me to see if I would be able to do this funeral. I said I would do it. They said, there's one thing we need to tell you. I said, okay, what is that? I understand families have preferences. They said, they don't want this to be a religious ceremony. And I thought to myself, why are you asking a preacher to do a non-religious ceremony? There are some preachers that probably wouldn't be a problem for, but what am I supposed to do? They said, they don't want you to use any scripture, and they don't want you to pray. I said, this is not going to be easy. But maybe if I'm there, I'll be able to touch one life with the message, and maybe they'll ask me some questions, and I'll have a chance to follow up. And so I had to figure out ways to communicate the truth, to give real hope, because one of the songs that they chose was simply a song about how this person was gone, and they would never see them again, and they were, you know, they were dead, and that was it, And it was like, well, that is such a sad song. As Christians, we understand, because of God's Word, there's so much more beyond death. There's eternity beyond death. So I'm trying to think. And so as I planned this service, I decided, okay, well, I'll quote that song from the 60s. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season to everything. And so I quoted that song. And they thought, oh, they were familiar with that song. But some of them didn't realize that's from Scripture. I broke the rules. I like to do that. And so I found ways. I talked about how ancient wisdom has shared these thoughts with us. And things of that nature where I didn't identify God's wisdom, but God's wisdom is still true, even if I'm not giving them chapter and verse. The most awkward moment in the whole service was when I was done and I could not close with prayer and the funeral director was in the back waiting for me to pray. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and I'm trying to nod at him like, okay. He's going. And then suddenly you could see his eyes lit up and he told me afterwards, I was waiting for you to close up. Then I realized, you couldn't pray. And I was waiting for that. See, God's Word helps. Even whenever there are people who want to reject God's Word, God's wisdom is still true. And imagine the joy at being able to share with someone, even if they are antagonistic towards God, you can still share the comforting words of Scripture. even if you don't give them chapter and verse. And then as time goes by, if they ask you where that came from, then you can answer them. Because God's Word stands true. If you're going to study God's Word for transformation, find a place to be alone with God. Find that wherever that is for you. It's hard today to find a place where you can be alone. Because very few people will turn off their phone or leave it in a different room. So you always can be interrupted. That's what I'm saying. Find a place where you will not be interrupted. That's going to be different for everybody. That may be in your car. That may be in your garage. That may be in a room or a closet or someplace where you can simply go to be alone. And then if your family is around, just say, I'm going to spend some time in God's Word. Just don't disturb me for a little bit. That may be hard if you have a lot of kids and you're the parent that's here, they're taking care of them. But it's good for them to know that that's important to you as well. They probably know not to disturb you during a TV show or a sporting event. They can understand that about God's Word as well. Find a good win. It says in Genesis 19:27, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before God. He went early in the morning. Find your God. Spend your prime time with Him. That's different with everybody. It usually happens in marriage. You marry somebody that's opposite of you. Lisa gets up early in the morning, loves breakfast, and loves to study the Bible when she gets up in the morning. When I get up in the morning, I want to stay in bed. You know, I would not have a problem getting up early in the morning if it wasn't so early. If they could schedule early in the morning at 11 o'clock, I would be more than happy. I'm more of a night person. So for me, I like it when everybody goes to bed and I can spend some time in God's Word. Because for me, that's more of a prime time. And what I found for me is that what I study before I go to bed, I often remember better the next morning. That's me. That may not be you. Find your prime time. It may be in the morning, it may be in the afternoon, maybe right after lunch, maybe in the evening, maybe at night. Find your prime time. When you're alert, you're not tired, and you can spend time really reading God's Word. How? Whenever you're studying God's Word alone, dedicate yourself to study the Bible. It says in 2 Timothy, study to show yourself approved by God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the Bible. How do you study the Bible? Let me give you some things that might help. Study the Bible cleanly. Now, I understand. In fact, Lisa's working with a Muslim young lady, and she gave this woman a ride home, and they began to talk about their faith. And when she got to, she's from Bangladesh, the whole family was there. Her parents were there, the boys, her kids were there, husband. And they invited her in. They said, you have to come in. If you give me a ride, I want to share some food with you, some snacks. And so she had some Bangladesh snacks that she couldn't describe to me. But she said they were interesting. They were pretty good. But as they talked, during the day, the Muslims are set aside certain times for them to pray. Before they pray, they go in, they wash their hands, and they try to cleanse themselves as much as possible for their prayer time. It's not a bad idea. There are tribes in Latin America, whenever they received God's word and they became Christians, they decided they wanted to celebrate and worship the Saturday before their worship on Sundays. That Saturday, the majority of the people go out. There's a plant there that they all take a leaf from, and they chew on that leaf. That leaf has laxative qualities. Why do they do that? Because they want to come to worship without any impurities or as few as possible. I don't think you have to do that. I'm not advocating that. But I think what it speaks to is the idea that you want to come before God without things holding on to you. To be able to be as spiritually clean as you can. That's why prayer, confession before you read God's Word, can help you understand God's Word even better. If you are a sin-filled vessel, God's Word can't get in you very well. And I understand. There are sins you commit you don't even know right now. Years ago, Keith Green, who was a minister as well as a contemporary Christian music artist, said a lot of good things. One thing he said was that the closer I get to God, the more I keep finding sins I didn't even know were there. Attitudes and other things. Try to empty yourself as much as you can. God knows already, but just take some time to try to cleanse your heart as much as possible in prayer as you come to Him. Secondly, do it continuously. And what I mean is, don't just do the old thing where you kind of go, okay, I'm going to read my Bible today. Let's see. I'm going to read this chapter. Okay, I'm going to read this chapter. Oh, it's Lamentations. Well, this will be a fun one. So you read that. Okay, the next day, you take your Bible, you open it up, and it's like, oh, the Gospel of Luke. I can read chapter 7. That's what I see here. That's not a good way to study. It's better. Some people, in fact, I saw this yesterday on Twitter. Kirk Cousins, quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, shared on his Twitter account, had a picture of the Bible. He said, it was so exciting. For the first time in my life, I just finished reading the Bible from cover to cover. He's a Christian. And yet, that's not unusual. We've done that as a church. We've had in the past, we had a time whenever we read the entire New Testament together and had the days set out. We did that for 40 days and got through the entire New Testament. In 90 days, we read through the entire Bible. And we've done that to encourage you to read God's Word, but to read it systematically. If you're going to read James, start with James 1:1 and read that entire book so you get the whole message that James was sending to the people at that time. If you're going to read one of the Gospels. Now, the nice thing is you can do some things differently that way as well. You can get a book that has the parallel passage, the parallel versions, so that you can read the section of Matthew, and then you can see where Luke talks about that, and where Mark talks about that, and where John talks about that, and you can see how each one of them talk about that event. That's one of the ways you can do it as well. But take time to just work through it. Don't read randomly. Read in a continuous nature, verse by verse, book by book. And then you'll understand the full scope of what was being written, and you'll become able to be much more effective. Read consistently. Do it on a daily basis. I remember talking with someone who simply said, I find that if I go to bed and I haven't read my Bible yet, I can't sleep. I miss it. So I get out of bed and I'll read. We should have that desire to read it every day. Most of you would not go without eating physical food during the day. Don't go without eating spiritual nourishment as well. Read it carefully. Don't rush through it. One of my professors at seminary used to say one of the biggest problems with going to school is that you always have to read so much. You have to read fast, and you don't always get to digest it. Read a chapter a day. You can do that with the book of Proverbs. It works out great. There's 31 chapters. There are months that have 31 days. Boom. Not a bad plan. But take time to read it and write down what you notice. Write down what you see so that you can remember it. Have a notebook. Have a journal. Underline things in your Bible. That's okay. I can still remember I was taught to treat my Bible very carefully and very specially, and then somebody came up with this idea of underlining things. Well, how can I do that? You can. It's okay. You have permission. Some of you may need that. You can even find Bibles that are already colored for you. One of my classes back years ago at Ozark, whenever I was in college getting my bachelor's degree for ministry, one of the classes we had was Survey of the New Testament. And in the supplies for that class, we had to have a Bible, and we had to have a packet of 24 crayons. Because part of that class, we had to color our Bibles, and each color talked about a different subject. If it talked about sin, you underlined it one way, or you colored it with, highlighted it, if you will, with a crayon, one way. And then different topics would be highlighted with different things. God's love, God's grace, commands, warnings, all of those things. Write those things down. As I tried to put down here, mark down what you see. That's observation. If you were there, what would it look like? You engage your imagination to understand and observe what's there. What would it be like to be in a fishing boat in a storm? I mean, it wasn't a big boat. It was a fishing boat in a storm, and then suddenly you see someone walking on the water. What would that look like? What would that have felt like? Mark down what it means. What does this passage mean? That's interpretation. Oftentimes, the Bible interprets itself. Look for that. So, and underline it, write it down so you can remember it, and then mark down what it tells you to do or how it works. That's application. You know, if it tells you, you know, to go and love your enemy, well, that's telling me to do something. That's an application thing. That's something I should do. I should write that down so I know what God wants from me. Okay, or what He doesn't want from me. The applications, you need to be able to understand that. Study it creatively. And again, there are so many ways to read your Bible these days. You can read your Bible. You can, I don't have my phone with me, you can read your Bible on your phone. You can have your Bible read to you on your phone. You can, as you drive to work, you could listen to God's Word. It may not be the best place to really concentrate on it. The way some of you drive, maybe not the safest thing to do. But those types of things, if you exercise, if you go out and go for a walk, put in some headphones, you can find, I've got the New Testament or the Bible on cassette tape. No, there's not a whole lot of reason for me to still have that anymore, is there? I have it on CD. I have it on MP3. You know, one of the things that we've done every year for the last several years in May, we take up a collection so that we can give MP3 players that have the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs on it so that our military have the chance to listen to it. You can do that too. There are so many ways. You know, read a chapter out of one version of the Bible. Read the next chapter out of another version of the Bible. Yeah, it'll sound a little bit different, but don't be afraid to change it up and do some things creatively. That'll help you as you dig into God's Word. Let the Bible dig into you. That's important as well. There was an Ethiopian emperor by the name of Menelik II who ruled Ethiopia from 1844 to 1913. Whenever he would feel sick, he would tear out a page of the Bible, he would chew it up, and he would swallow it. Because he knew in the Bible, it talked about how Ezekiel and John both ate a scroll. And as John says, it was bitter at first, but then it became sweet like honey. He thought, if it was good enough for them, it'll help me feel better whenever I'm kind of sick. Don't nourish yourself on God's Word in that way, please. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting God's Word from what you read, what you study, what you understand, from your head down to your heart. As one professor told me years ago, sometimes the biggest difference in someone's salvation and someone's Christianity is the 14 inches from their head to their heart. There are people who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they know God's Word. They just haven't let it get to their heart. Make sure you make that journey. One of the key things to that is to memorize the Bible. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Whenever our family was together at Christmas, we went over to see my mother. And as we all kind of gathered into the conference room that they had set up for us because they knew we were coming, We sat around and talked with her. There was Elijah asked her the question, "Grandma, what's your favorite Bible verse?" Well, we knew her favorite Bible verse, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And that's what she said. She didn't quote us the where it was at. She just simply quoted the passage. It's one that, even with Alzheimer's, although she still remembered many things, that was one of those things I don't know, that would have been really hard for her to forget because it was so important to her. It was memorized, it was a part of her heart, and it was there. Memorize God's Word. It will help you through difficult times. Charlie Peace was a pilot during the Vietnam War. He was a captain. He was shot down over Vietnam. They came, they captured him. He was thrown into a POW camp. Whenever we had him come and speak to our church years ago back in Lamar, Missouri, I had a chance to talk with him, and he signed a book for me that he had written. But he talked about how whenever they were in the POW camp, they had no Bibles with them. But what they would do is that they would get together, and each person would share some of the Bible verses they remembered and had memorized. And though they didn't have a Bible with them, many of them had the Bible in them. And it was a way in which they could encourage and comfort one another with the variety of verses that many of them remembered. If you memorize Scripture, it will help give you victory over sin. It helps you overcome worry. It'll give you confidence in telling others about Jesus. It speeds up the transformation process in your life. You'll discover God's will for your life. It helps you in other Bible studies. And it equips you for unlimited service to God. Memorize God's Word. I understand. We don't memorize like we used to. Growing up, I had a lot of phone numbers memorized. There are still some phone numbers back in Joplin I remember. But I remember them differently because it was MA 3 4 7. Now we use all the numbers. Here, you have to remember not just seven numbers, you have to remember 10 numbers. But now we don't remember numbers. We have them in our phone. If we lose our phone, we have no... I don't know how I would contact Lisa if I didn't have my phone, because I don't know her phone number. But you can memorize. You remember things. There are things you do remember. We need to work at memorizing God's Word. Secondly, meditate on God's Word. I'm not talking about Eastern processes in which they meditate and they close and they fold their legs, close their eyes, and chant repeatedly. It's the idea of giving deep thought. Richard Foster says that Christian meditation is the ability to hear God's voice and obey His word. It says that after the wise men came to visit Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus, it says that Mary collected these things up and pondered them in her heart. It's that idea of pondering over what God gives you. And that word, I know I've shared it with you in the past, I'm going to do it again. The meaning of that word has within it, it goes back to an agricultural society with a cow that has, if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, it has at least five parts to its stomach. And whenever it eats something, it chews some grass, it chews it up, and then it swallows it, and it goes down to the first part of its stomach. Then at some point in time, and I will not describe how, it begins to chew that again from the first part of the stomach, and then it swallows it and puts it back into the second part of the stomach. And then, at some time, they chew it again from the second part, and then it goes to the... and on it goes. Over and over, they chew the same grass, over and over. That's what it means to ponder. That's what we're talking about with meditation. Thinking about something deeply. Taking the time to do that. We live in a society in which it's very difficult for us to truly take time to think about things. And most of the time, people today don't want to think deeply about stuff. They want a message in 160 characters or less. They want a soundbite, not an explanation that's going to take a while for you to fully understand all the ramifications of things. We've been trained in our culture for quick, short answers, and God's Word, sometimes you just got to spend some time chewing on it. But it'll be a blessing. Don't just read through your Bible, study it. Study the Bible so you can be wise. Believe in it so you can be safe. Practice it so you can be holy. Study it through, from one end to the other. Pray about it and use God's Word even as a prayer. Whenever it says, you know, that I can hide your Word in my heart so I won't sin against you, don't be afraid to pray. God, help me hide your Word in my heart. I struggle with memorization. But I want to know your Word and have it available to me. Work it out. If you read God's Word and it tells you to do something, do it. Note it down. Write stuff down. They now have journaling Bibles where you have a page of Scripture and a page that you can write your notes on. That might be an investment for you. Pass it on. Tell other people what God's Word has to say. That's how you can have a new start and grow deeper in your relationship with God this year through the power of His Word. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and then Gary will be coming back up. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its wisdom, for its guidance. We pray that You might continue to give us strength, that You might give us wisdom, and that we might give You the time to spend with You and in Your Word so that we might grow into the people You desire us to be. Lord, I pray all these things in Your Son's name, our Savior and our intercessor, Jesus.